This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Daily Digest with me, T. Xiao Ik and Juliet Jacobs. First up, the spread of COVID-19 worldwide as well as here in Malaysia is equally being accompanied by the spread of myths and misinformation about the virus and the disease. So today we are going to bust some of the most common myths surrounding COVID-19 and how it spreads. COVID-19, which is something that everyone is talking about right now, and it is still a cause for concern worldwide with more than 93,000 cases confirmed globally. And in Malaysia to date, we've had 50 confirmed cases, 14 of which are from a new cluster of cases just in the last few days alone. And if there is one thing that seems to be spreading even faster than the virus, it's misinformation on the disease, isn't it?
Isn't it? Definitely. In the last 24 hours alone, we've come across WhatsApp forwards and Facebook posts advising people to consume more ginger and garlic to keep your body warm to kill the virus, or that one should be upping their intake of vitamin C.
Ooh, that's a favorite.
That's a favorite for anything. And what's worse is when some of these so-called tips contradict actual health guidelines put out by the medical authorities, like saying, for example, like saying any face mask is good enough to prevent infections, or that, you know, exposure to sunlight is enough to kill the coronavirus. Mm. Because misinformation like these can actually prevent people from taking proper precautions.
Yeah. So today we thought we'd play Mythbusters and clarify the truth behind the questions and the so-called tips that have been floating around by taking them to an expert. And we have on the line with us Dr. Christopher Lee, infectious diseases physician. Dr. Chris, let's start with one of the most common questions. Are face masks effective in protecting us against COVID-19?
The guidelines for the use of masks for lay people is only when the person is unwell. There's no evidence that wearing a mask would help a lay person from catching the virus. So let's leave the mask for use for the professional caregivers and for the lay person when they become unwell.
And how is the virus transmitted? Can you get it from touching surfaces, clothes, and so on?
Now, this virus, up to now, the consensus that it is spread by droplet spread. And droplet spread means anything within a meter to 2 meters. Now, some governments use 1 meter, some governments use 2 meters. Average now, I think most people use 2 meters. So this is because when we talk, and especially when we sneeze or cough, small droplets may be pushed out or expired into the air around us. And this may reach up to 1 to 2 meters, depending how forceful we expel these droplets. So people around us within that area, within that diameter, may be exposed to, more likely to be exposed to our droplets. Now, the other way of catching the virus is through direct contact. And the direct contact may be, let's say, my hands are contaminated and I shake hands with someone, and someone now, after shaking hands with me, unknowingly rub their eyes or rub their nose, then inevitably the virus is transferred into the other person's system. So that's direct contact. The other way, where direct contact or indirect contact, if you like, is when, let's say, when I cough or sneeze, these droplets of mine fall onto a common surface, let's say a table. Someone now puts their hand on that table and unknowingly they transfer it onto their nose and eyes. That's also one way of transmitting the disease to oneself.
So what exactly works when it comes to hand washing and using hand sanitizer? Which of those is more effective?
The studies show that hand washing, when used properly, when done properly, is more effective than hand sanitizers. However, from the pragmatic standpoint, because we cannot be walking around with a sink close to us, when the sink is not available, not accessible, then the appropriate use of hand sanitizer, the correct hand sanitizer, is effective enough.
And what is the best kind of sanitizer to use?
Well, the ones that have been studied the most will be the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. And we should have enough content of alcohol. And we talk about things like 65 to about 70%. So watch out for that alcohol content. And that's important.
So how frequently should we sanitize or wash our hands?
That depends on what we are doing with our hands at the time. I think the practice would be this. if you are touching many or a lot of common surfaces that are shared by other people, then perhaps you would like to use a hand sanitizer more frequently. Of course, the concern about our hands is not when the germs are on our hands, it's when the germs are transferred, to, let's say, to our mucous membranes, which is our eyes, our nose, or our mouth. And we know that studies have shown that all of us, without being aware of it, do touch these mucous membranes fairly frequently every hour. So to ensure that we don't happen to touch our eyes and nose and our mouths with dirty hands, I think we should use sanitizers. Let's say every time you're in a public place and you know you have exposed yourself to quite a lot of common surfaces, to use it. There's no time frame, obviously. It depends on, you know, how often we use our hands.
Is it true that the virus is more susceptible to heat?
Yes, the virus is more susceptible to heat. This is well studied for SARS especially, and they know that during winter months, when the temperature is low, the virus may survive longer outside the human body. When it is hotter, it is less likely to survive as long. So it may be a factor in the transmissibility of the virus itself.
And what about the use of hand dryers? Does that kill the virus or only spread it further?
Well, I think drying your hands does help to some degree, because humidity, the drier your hands, the less likely the virus stays alive longer. The more humid, it tends to live longer. But I don't think using hand dryers all the time would be something practical, you know, because our hands also get moist with our own sweat and things like that. So, you know, it's not something pragmatic. You want to carry a hair dryer with you all the time? I'm not sure how practical that is.
And Dr. Chris, this is something I've been seeing online quite a bit. Can spraying alcohol or chlorine or disinfectant all over our body kill the virus?
Well, I wouldn't advise us to spray everything on our body. Number one, this could have side effects on our skin. So you have to use actually hand sanitizers that are used for that purpose. So you cannot use surface disinfectant like Clorox and put it on our body. It can do harm. Certainly it can do harm. So surface disinfectants should be used for surfaces. Many of our common household detergents, for example, things like Clorox, if they are used for table surfaces, they are quite effective for this virus. And hand sanitizers used for our hands. You cannot cross over that way.
And can I take antibiotics or flu or fever medication to treat COVID-19?
Okay. There has been no specific treatment for this virus. And as we know, it's a virus, so antibiotics by itself do not work on killing this virus.
And what about things like the flu vaccine? Will that help to protect us?
Okay. Now, certainly it's good to be vaccinated for flu. The flu season is still thereabouts. And during this time, when if you were to catch a flu-like illness, it would be very confusing for the doctors whether it's flu or whether it's coronavirus. So if you have access to a flu vaccination, this is a good time to get yourself vaccinated.
What about home remedies? You know, we're seeing things like drinking hot liquids or consuming ginger or garlic would be useful. There's advice like gargling with salt and hot water. Is there any home remedy that would actually be helpful?
Some of these home remedies, of course, they are not studied scientifically or clinically. Whether it helps cure or kill the virus, probably unlikely. But I think all these remedies, if it helps to make you feel better as symptomatic relief, I think they are fine, that you can carry on with them. But it is not something that you can use to treat it, but certainly it may make you feel more comfortable. And I think it's important to remember 80-85% of people with coronavirus up to now tend to be mildly ill only. So yes, if you have a bit of a sore throat and a cough and these remedies help you to feel better for the next few days, I think that's perfectly fine.
And what about traditional or alternative medicine, say, you know, Chinese medicine or Ayurveda? Are those known to help?
Well, there's certainly no data. I know the Chinese authorities, some of them have started looking at some Chinese traditional medicine. But I don't think the data is easily accessible to everyone. So I think most people would say, don't depend on them for treatment if you do have coronavirus and you're sick, I think please proceed to the hospital assigned to look after these cases, and the doctors will know what to do. There has been some anecdotal studies about certain antivirals that have been used on some of these drugs, are the anti-HIV drugs, and there has been anecdotal reports that they do work. So, but of course, because it's not a randomized controlled trial, we still need data for that.
Can we get the coronavirus from our pets, or, you know, even transmit it to them?
Well, there has not been proof that when I say pets, so you are, I presume you're talking about cats and dogs and things like that. There has been no study that showed that they can be transmitted over to us and whether they can catch the virus. So there's no data on that.
And is COVID-19 only dangerous to elderly people?
It is most dangerous for people who are elderly and people who have other comorbid medical conditions. However, we all know there have been fairly young people who have also succumbed to the virus. We know that, for example, Dr. Li, that famous doctor from China, he was a young doctor and he did succumb as well. So he is not the only example. There have been young people who passed away as well. But certainly, if we look at the total cases with mortality, it tends to be skewed towards those who are more ill, more old.
And with the number of cases going up here in Malaysia, how worried should we be?
I think Malaysia would likely to follow trends in other countries in due course. I think the Ministry of Health and the other authorities in charge have done a good job holding it at bay till now. But as we know, in the last couple of days and last 1 week, there have been increase of cases. And there could be more to come. That is likely. In many countries, this has happened. Some countries, they have exploded very fast. Korea, in Italy, and Iran are the clear examples. In other countries, there was an increase, but they seem to be able to hold it out for the time being, and Singapore being one good example. But I think in Malaysia, while we do hope for the best, I think all of us, not just leave things to the government, but all of us also have to look at how we can protect ourselves better. And understanding the virus, taking pragmatic steps, some of the things we discussed just now, will help the individual, will help those families. So I think while we hope for the best, I think we do need to be prepared for the worst as well.
And finally, what is your advice to people about sharing facts and information about COVID-19?
There are things. I mean, clearly, this is a very good example of how medical science and the medical fraternity has worked together. I think in the last 2 months, we have learned quite a bit of the virus and the disease. Unfortunately, there are still many things we do not know. So as I said earlier, I think it's important to make sure our interventions, our decisions are evidence-based. What is clearly has been proven, I think we base our interventions on those. What has not yet been proven, and especially if these interventions can cause a lot of problems and disruption or even harm to ourselves, I think we should take it with a pinch of salt. That's just being pragmatic as we move forward until we get more information and understanding about this disease.
Thank you very much, Dr. Chris. That was infectious disease physician Dato' Dr. Christopher Lee helping us to separate fact from fiction when it comes to this novel coronavirus outbreak that we're facing right now, or COVID-19.
Yeah, and he made an excellent point at the end there about how at times like this, when you know things are still uncertain, that it's really best to keep to verified information from the medical and scientific community, and how sharing or spreading unverified information can actively cause harm.
Yeah, and so on a personal level, what does that mean for each of us? Well, basically, don't share, you know, forwarded WhatsApp messages or even links on your social media platforms that aren't from reputable media organizations or from official sources like the World Health Organization or our very own Ministry of Health.
And it's not usually enough that a text message is attributed to a reputable source. Practically anyone can type a message and claim it's from the UN or some ministry. So make sure the information is on a verifiable website or publication.
Yeah, I mean, sorry to jump in, but do you remember, I think it was just earlier this week that the Director General of Health was quoted as saying to avoid certain areas.
That's right.
When in fact he hadn't made that statement. But
yeah.
I think there was a a WhatsApp message being sent around with his name on it, claiming that he had
sent
that.
It. Actually, I think even the WhatsApp message, it was just something that was going around, and I'm not sure if that was just misreported by the news
other
agencies.
News outlets. Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, but yeah, again, make sure that the information is on a verifiable website or publication. And if you have the time, go online and cross-check the facts that you have before sharing. The Ministry of Health is at www.moh.gov.my. And World Health Organization is at who.int. Otherwise, play it safe and just don't forward that message.
Yeah.
And we did have a message from Anne on WhatsApp. She says that my uncle has forwarded possible COVID-19 cases to family chat groups, while we then have to, which we then have to fact check and inform all in the group that it's not true.
Oh,
with more people forwarding messages on suspected COVID-19 cases, always remember to fact check. Assume all forwarded messages are true. Very true, Anne. That is very true.
Yeah. And, you know, in fact, like, again, the Director General of Health is very active on Facebook. His
and
own
Twitter,
Facebook
yeah.
And Twitter platforms are, I think, good, credible sources to fact check that, you know, what you're quoting from him is actually from him.
Yeah, so that's exactly what I did earlier this week. I wanted to visit that hospital in question, and I wasn't sure because I read the news report and it said, oh, the DG said, don't go to this place. And I was like, oh, must be true. And so finally going on Twitter, and that's where I found his statement saying, no, I did not say that. So good place to go and check things out.
We have that's all the time we have to, you know, bust these myths for you. So remember, you know, assume that your forwarders are untrue and don't just pass them around. You're passing along more misinformation than the virus, to be honest.
Which is terrifying some people.
Yes, it is. It is stoking fear and panic.
Exactly.
If you have any thoughts you'd like to share with us, you can tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.